Romans, the 14th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to start reading at verse number 7. Romans 14, verse number 7. For none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I again thank you for the Scripture, your wonderful Word. Thank you for it. Thank you for the privilege of reading it. Thank you tonight for the privilege of preaching. We just ask, Father, once again tonight that your will be done. Help this preacher. He needs your power. He needs your wisdom. He needs everything from you. And Lord, just help us that we might be a blessing through the preaching of the Word of God. And it might help us tonight to love you more, to be more what you would want us to be. Now, thank you in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. In verse number 12, you'll notice he says, So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. It's from that verse of Scripture that we're going to take our text tonight, and we're going to preach a message on the subject of accountability. Every single one of us are accountable. And one of these days, God says, every single one of us individually. It won't be as a whole group. It won't be husband and wife. It won't be husband, wife, and children. It'll be individually. We will give an account unto the Lord. I think if you've been around Bible preaching and you've studied your Bible, you understand that. That's just a common truth. We all will stand before him. As he said, there will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So we're all going to give an account unto the Lord. Now I want you to go with me over to the book of Luke, the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, just for a moment. Stressing this point out of Luke 16, verse 1 and 2, he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Now, we're not going to go ahead and read the whole story of that, but I basically wanted to take from that verse number 2 where he talked to this steward about his stewardship and that he was, once again, using the word accountable or account, accountable for his stewardship. Again, each and every one of us is giving certain things in our life, and God is going to hold us accountable for that stewardship. Now, that's just plain teaching. You understand that. If you know your Bible, you know that is true. You don't have to be accountable for somebody else that they've been put over a stewardship over. You're going to be accountable for your stewardship. Amen? Now, that's just a plain truth. Well, as we begin our message, there's a man by the name of J.L. Dagg was his name. He said this, When discipline leaves a church, Christ goes with it. Think about this. Another man said this, The deplorable low estate of Christianity in America is traceable to the absence of accountability. Accountability is one of the things, and that's what I've titled my sermon tonight. Accountability is one of the things that has absolutely slipped, not only in America, but in the Church of America. We live in a day where there's no fault divorce. no-fault auto accidents. In other words, nobody is at fault. And that has slipped over into other areas of life. In fact, it has slipped over into the church. Now, the man, the criminal, says, it's not my fault that I committed a crime. It was society's fault. It's the way I grew up. It's where I lived. And so everybody begins to feel sorry for the criminal and the poor person that just got beat up by that criminal. Everybody don't feel sorry for him, but they feel sorry for this criminal who was so mistreated that he felt it necessary to go out and commit a crime. Now let me tell you something I heard on the news just the other day. A man in prison had a lawyer, and he's trying to get his conviction for murder overturned because the hospital that treated the individual whom he injured didn't give him good enough care, so he died. God's truth. He has got a lawyer, and he's trying to get his conviction overturned because if that hospital would have been better and done a better job, that man wouldn't have died and he wouldn't be up for murder. But you know what? That is what's going on in all segments of life. No fault whatsoever. You see, if my welfare check had arrived on time, I would not have had to rob a bank. So it's a welfare program's problem because they didn't get my check on time, so I had to go out and rob a bank. That's the mentality that we're hearing. Now, you know, since President Clinton had done his little escapades and all of his lying and all the things that he has done, and he blaming everybody else but himself, All kinds of little things has come out and little writings has come out, and one of them, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but one of them was this. It was about George Washington. When his daddy asked him, George, did you cut down the cherry tree? And he said, Dad, no, not really. I did not do it. Does that look familiar? I did not do it. I did not cut down the cherry tree. And by the time you get through that reading, it comes down to actually what he said was, it was the axe that did it. But I'm not at fault. We had another one that was given to me by somebody, and it's about this boy who'd borrowed his daddy's car. Next morning, they found a dent in it. And he went out and he asked the boy, he said, what's this dent doing in this car? Did you do that? And he said, no, Daddy. No, I didn't do that. I didn't put the dent in the car. Look familiar? And kind of the story gets done. The car had hit a mailbox, and it was the mailbox that put the dent in the car, so it really wasn't his fault. Now, you know, those are kind of funny things, and we laugh at them, and well should. But if you want to know the truth, there's a lot of that in America today. Passing the buck over on somebody else, it isn't my fault, it's somebody else's fault. I call it the Ken Starr syndrome. Ken Starr was appointed by Janet Reno to investigate Whitewater and all these other things. He turns out to be the dirty guy. He's trying to obey the law and find those who have not obeyed the law and prosecute them. But now we've got it turned around, and Ken Starr is the guy that's at fault in this thing, and everybody else, it isn't their fault, it's his fault. But that's the syndrome that we have in America. Accountability. In other words, it's always somebody else's fault. We live in a no-fault society. No one wants to take fault for that which they've done. They want to always find somebody else that they can blame it on to. One of the young men of our church, of our school the other day, I confronted him about something, not important what it was, but I confronted him about something. And as soon as I confronted him, why this wasn't done, well, so-and-so told me. instead of saying, "I just blew it." They were supposed to be in my office for a meeting at 9 o'clock. 5 minutes after 9 came, they wasn't there. I wanted to know why. Now you say, "Oh, big deal." It is a big deal. It is a big deal. Now, he said, "So-and-so." Now that's all right, because you know what? I hear this all the time. I'm using that as illustration. You know what? This young man, though, came out of it right. And he, in fact, he's one of our finest young men in our school. But it was a normal thing for him to try to point it to somebody else. And if you watch it, that's what most folk do today. Now just listen up. Accountability. It's always somebody else's fault because I've got this problem. No fault society that we live in. Now the church has joined the ranks with the world in doing this. The breakdown in accountability is seen, my friend, in every area of life. Let's go over some of them. Let's first of all check the family out. Dads, most of the time, now folks, you understand what I'm saying is I'm talking about it as a whole with dads across America. I don't know what you do. But many times dads across America want to pass the buck off to somebody else the reason why they're not being good daddies. They're not doing the things that the scripture says to do to be a good daddy. If you're a Christian, you read the Bible, you can find out how to be a good daddy. You hear preaching, you hear teaching, but get into the scripture and find out how to be a good daddy. But it's always somebody else's fault when their children get in trouble. It's always somebody else's fault. It's not theirs. It's somebody else's. I mean, it wasn't our fault. It was somebody else's fault. And so daddies across America has pretty well just left the home. And they're leaving it to be run by many times the wife. Not getting involved in the running of the home, not getting involved with the discipline in the home, not getting involved with those things that they ought to be getting involved with because they're daddy. And instead, it's always somebody else's fault. Same thing with a husband. A man needs to be a good husband. He just needs to be a good husband. You're accountable to be a good husband. God holds you accountable and me accountable to be a good husband. There's no excuses for not being a good husband. But it's always somebody else's fault. If my wife would let me, I'd be a good husband. I'm simply saying to you folks, we just need to be a good husband. Why? Because we're accountable to be a good husband. I wonder sometimes what we're going to do when we stand before God one of these days and God said, "Why didn't you do what the Bible said about being a husband?" "Well, I just, you know, I couldn't get it all together, God." I'm going to tell you, it's not going to hold up. We are supposed to be good husbands. We're supposed to do the things that the Bible says to do as a husband. We ought to search them out. You can go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and learn a lot, but you can go throughout all the Bible. You can get into the book of Proverbs. Folks ought to hear the book of Proverbs. Pastor Jerry's teaching it in his young adult class. I'm teaching it in the just a little older classer, and I'm teaching in that. And everyone ought to hear the book of Proverbs. Some of you don't even come to hear the book of Proverbs. You don't know all the wonderful things that's been taught that would help you in life, because you're too stubborn to come to Sunday school. You're just too stubborn. But you're accountable what's been taught. You just mark it down. The teaching's here. You're accountable for being here and hearing the Word of God and hearing what the Bible teaches us about the book of Proverbs and how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, how to be a good daddy, how to be all those things, how to live right, how to be honest. All those kind of things are in the book of Proverbs, and oh, they're wonderful teachings. And they're rules from heaven for life on earth. He's teaching us how to live, and we all need it. Every single one of us need it. Now, but here, we're accountable to be a good husband. have no excuse not to be a good husband. The scriptures tells us how to be a good husband. Goes on over to the mom. The mom is given instructions throughout the Bible how to be a good mom. We teach it, we preach it here, but that oughtn't to be the whole of your understanding of how to be a good mom. You ought to be into the scriptures and know how to be a good mom. You ought to know what the scripture says and what the Bible says about being a good mother and what a good mother does, and you ought to learn those things and you ought to put them into practice. You're accountable to be a good mom. God holds us accountable. Not only that, to be a good wife. You have no excuse for not being a good wife. And you're not a perfect wife. You don't have a perfect husband. But you are accountable to God to be a good wife. The scriptures tells you how to do that. It's throughout the Bible. It's throughout the Word of God. It tells you how to be a good wife. You say, Brother Ross, I've not been saved very long and I don't know a lot. That's all right. You just need to learn. When I got saved, there were so many things that I didn't know about life. I really did not know about life. I didn't know what it was to how to be a good husband for my wife. Oh, I knew the things that the world taught me. I knew the things that other people did, and I looked around and I thought them were good and all that, but I really didn't know what God said about it. And after I got saved, I learned what God said about it. And when we get saved, we're accountable to be a good mom. We're accountable to be a good wife. Children, you're accountable to be good children. The scriptures are full of the Word of God, tells you how to be a good child. You need to obey your mother and father. You just need to be a good boy. You need to be a good girl. Because you know what? God holds you accountable to do that. You must do that. Because you're held accountable for it. What I'm saying is no one wants accountability anymore. It's always somebody else's fault why I'm not a good boy. Why I'm not a good girl. It's always somebody else's fault. If somebody would have done this, then I would have done this, and I would have been better for it, and everything would have turned out all right. No, 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 no. You're accountable. You're accountable to be a good son. You're accountable to be a good daughter. Amen? Now, let's get into the church a moment and let's talk about the pastor. Say amen. I want to talk to you about the pastor. We're going to talk about the church. I'm going to talk to you about the pastor, his accountability. I don't know whether you probably don't understand it as probably much as I do, because I am a pastor, so I understand accountability. Scares me to death. Now, I want you to listen to me. You don't even have to turn there if you don't want to, but Hebrews, you've heard it, but listen to me. Hebrews 13, chapter 17, verse, let me read it to you. He says, excuse me. He says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account. There's that word. They must give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now the pastor is accountable unto God Almighty for those whom he is the shepherd over that flock which he is over. He's accountable to them. Now whether you think that's scary or not, to me it's very, very scary. I don't know if I would, maybe scary may not be the best word, but it's to some degree, it's awesome. To realize, because you've got to understand, I'm going to stand before God, and I am going to give an account. Not for everything that you disobeyed and did, but to make sure that I have taught you the Bible, the Word of God, and to make sure that this church is run scripturally. I am going to be given account. I'm going to give account to God for that. You won't be, but I will. And that's why in the church it's so, so important that you understand something. I love you from the bottom of my heart more than you'll ever know. I love you. But when I get my orders, I don't get them from you. I get them from the Lord, because he's the one I'm accountable to. And the Bible says your responsibility, now listen to me, the Bible says your responsibility is to submit to the leadership of the church. You're to submit to it. You know what submitting is? You know when a wife is told in the Bible to submit to her husband? Wives, that's not just doing what you wanted to do anyway. That's what most people think submitting is. Yeah, I'll go along with him. That sounds like a good idea. But when you don't, it isn't a good idea, you don't submit. There's when submission comes in. It's when you don't want to do something and you submit to him. That's submission. And it's the same way in the church. When you submit to the leadership of the church because God has told you to in the things of the church. That's what I'm talking about. In the things of the church, in the running of the church, the responsibilities of the church, it is your responsibility to submit to this pastor. Not to stand against me, not to go against me, not to fight me, not to have a bad spirit against me. Correct? But to submit. And if you'll notice there, here's what he says. He says, he'll give an account that you may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. Why in the world do you want to do it, not submit and not do it and have joy about it? Because it's just going to hurt you. It's going to cause him trouble, yes, but it's going to just hurt you. And it isn't profitable for you. Amen. Accountability. So in other words, are you accountable to submit to the pastor in the things of the church? Is there anyone here can stand up and say, Brother Ross, you have told me to do something immoral. You have told me to do something against the scripture. Is anyone here absolutely can stand up and say, I've ever told you to do anything unscriptural? Then is it your responsibility to submit to the preacher in the things of the church I'm talking about? Is that correct? Sure it is. Sure it is. And I then am going to give account of how I lead the church. I will give an account unto my great God for that. Accountability. You can count on it, folks. Accountability is there. And this preacher must give accountability to God. Amen. Now, we have all kinds of ministries here in the church. All kinds of ministries. Wonderful. Thank God for the ministries of this church. I'm not saying we're everywhere we ought to be. I'm not saying we're doing as much as we ought to be doing. I don't know. All I'm saying is we have a lot of ministries in this church that God is working through. Now, the workers in this ministry of the church also must give an account. Sunday school teachers are going to give an account in the long run to God, because the Bible says every one of us will give an account. But since you're put under my ministry, you must give an account to me for preaching and teaching the right thing, doing it the way the pastor wants it to be done, following what the scripture says, what the pastor says. Here's what the scripture says. Here's the way we're going to do it. Here's the way we're going to do this. Here's the way we're going to do that. And you do it because why? You're given the privilege to serve. And God's put me over you, and I'm going to have to give an account. But you also are going to have to give an account. Sunday school teachers, you're going to have to give an account that you teach the Bible, the Word of God, the way it should be, not the way you want it to be. Now, this pastor, I want to ask you, anybody in here, if there's anybody in here that did not know that I stand on the King James Version Bible only, does anybody in here not know that? I don't see one hand. Yeah, so you know I stand on the King James Version of the Bible only. So we don't use anything else here, period. We do not use the New King James. Amen. We do not use the New Scofield. We use the Old Scofield. We do not use the NIV. We do not use the reversed vision. We don't use the Living Bible, as they call it. We live the old King James Bible. That's the only thing we use here. Now, all the teachers, all the helpers, everybody knows that. So you don't use anything else. You understand? You don't use anything else but the old King James Bible. You know why? Because I'm a pastor here. That's what I say.
Amen?
Amen? Sure. And so anyway, you have an accountability to do what the preacher says. Amen? You say, Brother Ross, I don't want to do that. That's all right. Just tell me who you are, and we can remove you from the position you're in, and it's no hard feelings. But we use the old King James around here. Tommy there is responsible. I delegate authority to him. Some of you give him a hard time. I delegate the authority to Tommy to see about the music. And it's up to him to see to it that the right kinds of songs are sung in this church. So don't you get mad at him. Don't you get mad at me. Don't you get mad at anybody. It's none of your business. We want the old-fashioned songs sung in this church. That's what we're going to sing in this church. Amen. And he's responsible to see to it. I delegate that authority to him. If he ever questions you about the song that you're going to sing or the way you're dressed or anything else, you don't say anything but yes, sir. Because he's accountable. See, accountability is there. You are accountable when you get up to sing. You're accountable when you play the piano. You're accountable when you stand up before a class. You're accountable. But no one wants to be accountable anymore. No fault. No fault society. No fault in the church. It's nobody's fault. It ain't my fault. It's this guy who's trying to keep it straight around here. He's the bad guy. Ken Starr syndrome. See, it's his fault. It's the preacher's fault. He's trying to keep it straight. I mean, he's been preaching this for 28, almost 29 years, and all of a sudden somebody wants to change it, and it's his fault because he wants to stand where he stood for 29 years. I can't believe some of this. But you're accountable for doing right. You're accountable. And we could go through everything, whether it's in the master's clubs or whether it's in Sunday school classes, and those are the reason I mentioned those are the two main teaching ministries. We have the Sunday school, we have the master's club, we have the youth ministry, where we really get into teaching of the Bible, the Word of God. Folks who are in those ministries have a great responsibility. You're accountable. You're accountable what goes on in your whatever ministry it is you have. You're accountable for that. You're accountable to see to it that you're doing like the preacher said to do it. I mean, amen? Isn't that right? Well, sure. That you don't let on things go on that ought not to go on. And you know better than that. You don't let those things go on. You don't do that. You're accountable. In other words, every ministry, whether it's bus ministry, no matter what it is, every ministry of this church, there's accountability for working in those ministries. Now, that's just plain truth, isn't it? Isn't it plain truth that anybody that works in a ministry of this church ought to be faithful to the house of God? Would you want a Sunday school teacher teaching your children that wouldn't be faithful? Would you want any other ministry that was teaching your children if they was not faithful to the house of God faithfully? It is a terrible thing if Sunday school kids came to the church and came here on Sunday night and they didn't see their Sunday school teacher. They came here on Wednesday night and their Sunday school teacher was gone. I'm not talking about being gone on a vacation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just didn't come. Stayed home. I want to tell you, that is a terrible, terrible, terrible testimony to those who you're trying to teach. Accountability. And God holds us accountable. Not only that, even the congregation of a church nowadays do not want to be accountable. It's not my fault. Not my fault, church not going forward. Not my fault we're not seeing more saved. I'll just sit back and wait and see what the preacher does. Now, I'm not going to be a part of it, but I'll just sit back and wait. Just see what the preacher does. Of course, when you join the church, whether you realize it or not, when you become a member of something, you become a member to be a part of that church and support that church and be get into that and be an important part of it and do the work of God here. That's what you become a member for. Amen? You're to support the church. You're to serve in the church. You're to attend the church. You're to pray for the church. You're accountable to do that when you join a church. Amen? You're accountable to come to its revival meetings. You're accountable to come to the services of the church. You're accountable to give your tithes and offerings faithfully. You're accountable to serve in whatever places you can serve in the church. Why? Because you're a member. You joined it. That's what members do. You're accountable to live a godly life. Sure you are. Why? Because you belong to the church. We're accountable. Now, here's kind of the process that it is nowadays. Here's kind of the standard procedures in many of our churches today. Believe like a fundamentalist, behave like a liberal. I remember a lady one time, it's so funny, she told me, she said, "Brother Ross, I wouldn't go to any church that didn't have a soul winning program." That's what she said. "If you didn't have a soul winning program, I wouldn't even be a part of that church." I said, "Where are you on soul winning night? How often did you go out soul winning?" And that's the way it is a lot in the churches today. "Well, I wouldn't go anywhere if they didn't win souls and see people down the aisle." How many have you brought? Amen. Accountability. You see, along with church membership goes accountability. Frank Lee died Friday evening. I'd had to figure it up, but probably within 3 weeks of the time he got saved. Be buried Monday. Got saved about 3 weeks ago. Where are the churches nowadays who hold married couples accountable for keeping their married vows? You know, when I marry somebody, I don't know about you, but that's serious business. I was looking for him. Valerie and Jason's going to get married here. Where you two at? There you are. They've been coming in and meeting with me. They're going to get married on June the 5th. Exciting day. And we've done taken every dictionary they've got, and we've ripped the word divorce out of it. Now, let me say something to you. That wasn't even in their vocabulary. No. They wouldn't even ever think about that. See. You know what? Accountability, marriage vows, means for good. Forever, till death do us part. Amen. And you know what a church ought to do? You know what Mr. Clinton's church ought to do that he's a member of, and he's a member of a Baptist church? You know what they ought to do? They ought to church him for the way he's lived. They ought to church him. But I don't think that'll probably happen. But they ought to. They put him out the door. I want to say, now, when you come to full repentance and you get up and you tell everybody that you are sorry before God of what you've done and you're sorry, we'll bring you back in. Now, you'll be on probation, but we'll bring you back in. But no, they won't do that. See, churches don't hold anybody accountable anymore. Discipline has gone out the doors. But if we would just hold to the truth and the disciplines that's in the Bible, I guarantee you people clean their lives up. When you realize that if you went out running around on your wife, the church is not going to put up with it, and we find out about it, we're going to address you, folks. And vice versa. That's the way it ought to be. The church ought to expect morality in the membership of its congregation. You ought to expect that. Now you say, "Brother Ross, what happens if they repent?" Well, they repent. You just love them and you bring them back and you love them.
Sure you do. But there has to be repentance. Amen. Here's a quote, and I do not know who said it, but I want to read it to you. Soft peddling and letting things slide have reduced congregations to little more than religious clubs. The other day I heard one of the big organizations you join by members, and I don't even want to mention their name because I really don't like them. But anyway, it's a big organization, and they are now asking for members and advertising for members because so many of them that has joined don't even show up for the meetings anymore. I said, join the club, folks. Because that's what happens in Christianity. We join a church and then just, it's something over there that when I get time, I'll do this or that. We don't feel any accountability to it. But we are accountable. Then we look at our accountability to the lost world. Folks, listen to me. If the church cannot keep its house in order, how can we expect the world to? If we can't do it here in the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, if we can't keep our house in order, how do we look out here at the world and expect them to keep their house in order? Accountability. Let me show you something real quick over in Matthew, 18th chapter, Matthew. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, that someone who saw it, every word may be established, someone who heard it. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. And he goes on, a lot of times we stop reading there, but he says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. There is not a break there. That goes along with the whole teaching there. In other words, he's saying, did you know he has given us a wonderful plan for keeping church relationships right? There should not be schisms in the church. When a schism is in the church, somebody is not following the scriptural plan. God has a way. He knew us well enough to know that there's going to be problems. He knew us as human beings that we are not perfect and we will pull some good ones sometime. And he says, here's the way to correct it. In other words, I've got a way where Blessed Hope Baptist Church can have complete unity and sweetness in their services and in their congregation if you'll just follow it. And Jesus even says in that, in verse 18, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, he's not stopping there, because a lot of times they want to move this into a prayer meeting time, and whatever somebody comes up with, he's talking about the same thing that we've just talked about. He's talking about when two get together over a problem they've had, if it'll be bound, if it'll be found, the problem be worked out, then he'll loose it in heaven. It'll be all right. He's there in the midst, because he's given us this plan for taking care of problems in the church. The reason there's problems and schisms in the church, because this is not followed. It's up to everybody to follow that. Now listen to me. First of all, make sure it's something that really matters. Now I don't know about you. I think I do know about you, but I think you do. But you know, there's a lot of things I just let go, because it isn't that important. It just doesn't matter. But if it really matters and it hurts the work of God, then I can't let it go. I must do something about it. And you need to too. But be sure you have something that needs to be addressed this way, if it needs to be taken care of, if there's a schism between you and someone, it needs to be settled. Doesn't it? And you know what you can have then? You can have unity in the church. You can have unity amongst the brethren. Folks, every person in here is not going to just adore everybody else in here. Now, when I say that, you can love us in the Lord, but there's going to be times you'll look at the person and you say, oh, some of the things they do, you know, but you know what? You can love them. You can just love them. And I think that's the way we ought to do. We just love them. But if there's a schism comes, then it needs to be settled. Amen. When I talked earlier about the communion service, there ought not to be a bad spirit in this church anywhere. They ought not to be a bad spirit. No, sir. That's ungodly. God's not pleased with that. The work of God will be hindered. Amen. The Bible says, and when I talked about President Clinton, member of the Baptist Church, the Bible says this: withdraw thyself from every brother that walketh disorderly. You're going to find in Christianity there's going to be people who's going to walk contrary to the Scriptures and continue to walk contrary to the Scriptures for whatever reason. I'm not talking about somebody growing and learning, and I'm talking about somebody who's come to that place where they just don't want to live the Christian life like it's supposed to be lived. And God says, you know what we ought to do? Withdraw yourself from that individual. Don't be a friend to them. Don't fellowship with them until they get right. Then you fellowship with them. But until they repent, you don't fellowship with them. You withdraw yourself from them. 1 Corinthians 5th chapter tells that whole thing. We don't have time to go back here, but it tells the whole thing how to handle a situation like that. We need to get back to the Bible. Do what the Bible says, you see. How can the church be the moral conscience of the society or the community around us? How can we be that conscience for them, that moral conscience for them, when we ourselves can't control the immorality within our church? The church must be something different. The church is a special place. Did you know it's a privilege to belong to an independent fundamental Baptist church? That is a privilege. It's a privilege. There's so many privileges that go with it. But folks, we as a church must stand for morality and integrity. We must stand for that. How can we teach those out there lost? Bring them to the place where they would want to be saved if we act like them. When you come into a church, folks, you come into a church building, your spirit ought to be right. It ought to be sweet. It ought to be to the place, if the pastor says, Sunday school class, I'm talking to adults, I'm not talking to kids. Sunday school class, I want you to sit halfway up. Some of them will just sit back here. And I'm talking about adults. I'm not talking about kids. I'm talking about adults. More than once I've said, Sunday school class, all I ask you to do, please come up halfway. That helps me in the teaching. Your pastor has asked you to do that. That's not submission. And I'm asking a very little thing. I'm just giving you illustration. Many times, many things I ask, it's almost like a rebellion sets up. If he asks me, I'm not going to do it. If the preacher said to do it, you just forget it. But you're hurting yourself. Because you see, I'm not asking things that are immoral or wrong scripturally.
I'm just asking things that'll help this preacher. Amen. There's many things that'll help this preacher. You can be a real blessing to me. You really can. You can say amen more than you do. You can get involved in the services instead of making your little comments while I'm preaching. You don't encourage me when you do that. You hurt the services. Now, what I'm simply saying is this. There's accountability. For every single person in this room, there's accountability, including this one standing. And we need to understand, God expects us and will hold us accountable for that which he's given us. The stewardship God has given you, are you a member of this church? That's a stewardship. Amen? And you're accountable for that as stewardship. Let me ask you as we close, do you feel accountable? Do you feel accountable to that which God's given you? Whatever ministry it is you work in, you're accountable. Amen? We all are. But you're accountable as a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen? It's very important thing to be. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you for the Word of God, thanking you for your goodness. Thank you for reminding us, Father, myself included, of the accountability that I have as I stand before you. Thank you, Lord. Although it's an awesome thought, thank you for reminding us. So help us, Lord, as a people, to be accountable to those things where we're placed, in the ministries that we're placed, to do them right and proper, to do them to the glory of God, to be faithful in our ministries, to be faithful to the lost, always, Lord, setting forth a good and proper example to those who know not Christ and to our fellow brethren. Now help us to do right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.